Inside the Jones Center in Springdale, skaters can often be seen gliding across the ice rink as music plays over the loudspeaker. However, during the early evening hours each Thursday, you'll see a different group of athletes on the ice, curlers. The Northwest Arkansas Curling Club was established in the late 90s and now has more than 20 members, some of who come from as far away as Russellville, Tulsa, and Joplin. The organization's current director is Mark Curtis.
Where I grew up in Wisconsin, I started curling with my father and grandfather back when I was 12 years old. In Wisconsin, they have a high school curling championship, and in Minnesota as well. It's very big in the town I grew up in.
After Mark's wife retired in 2003, the couple moved to Northwest Arkansas, and the club director says one thing that made him feel good about the move was the existence of a curling club in the region. When participating in curling, Mark explains each team consists of four members. One of those players is responsible for throwing stones down the ice in an effort to score points.
Each person gets to throw two stones alternately with the people on the other team, so in other words, each team gets to throw eight stones. After all 16 stones are thrown from one end to the other end, that's considered an end. Think of it like an inning in baseball. After all the outs, the other team gets to bat. And it's kind of the same thing in curling. So each length of the ice is called an end, and a game consists of either eight lengths of the ice or 10 lengths of the ice, depending upon whether it's a regular game or a tournament game. And the scoring is a little bit more complicated in the sense that it's kind of the scoring is done by the stones touching the circles on the ice. All the stones that are touching the circles can count as points, but only the same color stones count, depending upon which stone is closest to the middle.
Mark explains a stone is made of solid granite, and its standard weight is about 42.5 pounds. The weight typically isn't an issue because most members of curling clubs don't have to remove the stones from the ice. However, because the Northwest Arkansas Curling Club shares the ice with skaters and hockey players, they must pick up the stones after practice and place them into coolers. Mark says the stones must maintain a constant temperature so they don't melt into the ice, which would keep them from sliding properly.
The delivery of the stone has changed over time as the ice has gotten better, and by better meaning easier to throw. In the old days, with the cooling systems that a lot of the ice rinks had, the temperature fluctuated. So sometimes the ice was warmer and it's harder. You have to throw the stone harder to get it down to the other end. Now things are pretty standardized, and so it's much easier to throw the stone. So there's less variance. Now, when we curl on ice that's skated on, that's a whole different world because skating ice sometimes isn't too flat, too level. When you go to a club that's just dedicated just to curling, the ice is kept at a much different level, and so you have a much truer type of curling surface than you would on skating ice.
Also helping control the stones' trip down the ice are two curlers with brooms.
The brooms used to be, in the old days, actual corn brooms like we'd sweep our sidewalks with. When I started curling, my grandfather used a broom that was about 10 or 12 inches wide. The game has gotten much more sophisticated, and now most of the curlers use what we call a brush, which the Scottish people started using and have been using for years and years and years. And the brushes used to be made of horsehair or pig's hair. Now they're usually foam covered by nylon, and that gives the most effective sweeping. And so most everybody uses brushes. The brooms are pretty much out, although there's a few diehards still use the broom, but it's a very, very arduous game to curl with a broom. It's a very, very very heavy workout to curl with a broom for 8 or 10 ends. I used to do it, so lot of exercise in the game. And there's exercise just going up and down the ice because the ice, the length of the ice is about 140 feet, and each end you might make six trips up and down the ice times eight ends. So you end up walking well over a mile just in one night of curling.
Stationed at the far end of the curling sheet is the fourth team member called the skip. Mark says he or she acts as a quarterback by directing play. The skip is responsible for telling teammates where to throw the stone and how hard to throw it.
The strategy is such that you try to play to make sure that your stones are closer to the middle of the center of the circles than your opponent. And they can hit you out and you can hit them out. And you can also throw up guards or blockers. And then they have to try to knock them out of the way to be able to get to your stones to hit them. And same, they can do the same thing to you. So there's a lot of strategy. It's kind of, if you will, chess on ice, because you're trying to figure out what your opponent's going to do two or three throws from now. Or the opponent's trying to figure out what you're going to do two or three throws from now. And so there's a lot of thinking involved in the game.
The strategy of the game can be learned in time, which is something there is plenty of for anyone interested in learning the sport.
This is a lifetime sport. You can curl starting at a very young age, and my father is 96, and he's still curling up in Wisconsin. So it's a true lifetime sport. And also it's a very sociable game because you can curl with your children. I started curling with my father and my grandfather. I go back to Wisconsin at least once a year and curl in the high school alumni bonspiel, where we have a family team. I can curl with my wife and another couple. They have mixed curling. So you can do it on a very social level, or you can do it on a very competitive level, and both of them are available. And you can also mix them, because I like curling very socially with my wife. We go to Chicago and curl in some bonspiels or tournaments. A curling tournament is a bonspiel.
Mark adds that his wife has represented the United States in three different World Senior Championships. According to the World Curling Association, the first recognized curling clubs were formed in Scotland. Mark says the sport is picking up in the United States, but one of the problems hindering the growth of the sport is the fact that refrigerated ice is very expensive. However, Mark says the Northwest Arkansas Curling Club has been fortunate, and the Jones Center has treated them very nicely.
We're kind of a young, up-and-coming club. We, of course, encourage anybody that wants to try to come out and give it a go. We meet on Thursday nights from 5 to 7, and we'll be happy to give you instruction. We have the equipment. All you need to do is show up in some loose-fitting clothing and some flat-bottom rubber-sole shoes, and we'll be happy to show you the game. We had two new curlers out here tonight and that I gave lessons to. So, it's something fun to do of all ages, and we'd love to get some university curlers out here.
More information about the Northwest Arkansas Curling Club is available by calling 925-2628. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.